When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/etm and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/etm.
I mean, we don't think anything about carving out space in our budget for travel and things like that, but it might seem a little silly or goofy to do it for sports stuff. But the truth is, it's not. It's just something that we spend money on and that we're passionate about. So you should treat it as an expense to be managed the way other things are.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.
All right, who are my sports fans out there? You know, there are a few things that we all love more than sports. I am a huge sports fan myself. I basically love every sport, except I never really got into baseball or hockey, but anything around sports is just so enjoyable. I think being in a crowd at a game or having friends over and rooting for your favorite team, it is simply the best feeling. And if you're a sports fan, you also know that sports can be downright budget-breaking. According to a LendingTree.com survey, sports fans will shell out an average of $664 this fall, and 33% of those may take on debt to do so. Our guest in this episode is Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst for LendingTree, and he's here to break down how you can enjoy sports without going into debt, and if you're a parent, how to afford sports that your kid wants to play. He's even got this super cool credit card tip that you need to know if you're in debt, or if you're a sports fan and you're just trying to figure out how to afford all of this. As Matt says, there are a few things we love more than sports. In good times and in bad times, we are willing to spend money on sports as an escape to bring us all together. There is nothing that unites us like the love of sports. So here's to love in sports, but doing so while balancing all your amazing money goals. Let's start talking. All right, Matt, I am so thrilled to have you join us back on the podcast today talking about one of my favorite things. I know one of your favorite things, sports. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, fall is really like my favorite time of the year. We've got college football. I love that the weather's cooler where I live. May not be where you are in Austin, but it's also like a really expensive time of the year for sports fans and parents of kids who play sports. So as we're recording this, we're in the middle of, you know, college football. We got NFL seasons, NBA, NHL, college basketball is coming soon. We've got the World Cup coming up. So it is really like prime time for us as sports fans. But you and I, Matt, we were having this conversation a few weeks ago about sports, and you told me the survey by LendingTree that really fascinated me, and I knew I needed to have you on to talk about this. So this survey says that 41% of Americans spend money on sports this year more than they do any other time of the year, and that sports fans plan to shell out about $664 on average, and that many of sports fans, we end up taking on debt because we just love sports so much. So I thought just kind of kick it off, like, why do we spend so much money on sports, like even in the middle of recession and like everything that's going on right now?
Well, it's because Americans love sports like they love very few things. And in good times, bad times, in between times, nothing tends to bring people together like sports. And I mean, there's so many things that so many people disagree about and get so passionate about, but chances are, if you get folks together and of different parties, different viewpoints, different everything, and get them talking about their favorite football team, basketball team, whatever, chances are they'll have some stuff to talk about. So it's really something that unites people like few things do.
Yeah, it was interesting when you were just sharing that. So I decided to become an NBA fan when I was pretty small, I think like, you know, 10, 11 years old, because my dad loved to watch the NBA. We big Lakers fans, and we would go to a lot of Laker games together. And we were at a couple of like really impactful. We were there the night of the riots, and we were there the night before Magic Johnson announced that he, you know, was HIV positive. So we're there for, you know, some big things, but I really like that, you know, I was able to have that connector with my dad. And then I remember like just sitting in the stadium, if you've had the opportunity to go to a big sporting event, yeah, you feel like you're there with like a community of people. And I think especially in these times where we feel really divided, like having that connector with people is, you know, it's something great.
Yeah, and my family had season tickets for University of Texas football for 25, 30 years, and there is nothing quite like being in a building with 105,000 other people all cheering and hoping for the same thing. And the really unfortunate thing is that whether it's UT, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's practically any sport, it's becoming a rich person's thing in a lot of ways now, because the average family of four can't even afford to go to, you know, game 75 of 162 in baseball because it's so expensive, all the way down to parking and hot dogs and the whole thing. So I wasn't surprised to see how much people spend on sports, because the truth is that you can really spend as much as you want because there's so much possibility and things can be so expensive.
Do you know, do we spend more here in the U.S. than maybe people do in other countries, or is this kind of like a worldwide phenomenon?
Well, there's no question it's a worldwide phenomenon, and you can just look at the World Cup as the perfect example of that, where you'll have people traveling to Qatar in November to see all the stuff that's going on. But to answer your question, I don't know if Americans spend more on sports than other people around the world do, but I would imagine that we would be probably fairly close to the top. Although anybody who has ever seen the prices of tickets to an English Premier League soccer game, right, or something like that around the world knows that there's a whole lot of money spent elsewhere too.
Yeah, you know, kind of thinking about like those big events, the World Cup coming up, and I know that, you know, any of these like big sporting events, there was just the World Series, and I think the average price was somewhere around $3,000 per ticket, yeah, which is just nutty to me. But, you know, as a sports fan, like I understand really wanting to be in that arena and really wanting to experience that. You know, you mentioned a couple of expenses, but what are some of the other like big expenses that sports fans like that we actually spend money on? And maybe we don't even care. We just spend it because we got to get in that building.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest cost is the cost of actual game tickets. And it can be, like I said, really, really expensive, like hundreds of dollars for not even, you know, not even the Jack Nicholson, Spike Lee, you know, courtside seat kind of thing. I mean, just to get in the building can cost you an awful lot of money. But also merchandise, you know, jerseys and swag and that kind of stuff. But also things like food and beer and tailgating supplies and travel to get to the games and parking, and it just really goes on and on and on, and it all adds up to an awful lot of money that the average family on a budget, especially in a time of inflation, just can't afford.
Yeah, and you know, I think we know the stat is somewhere around, you know, the average person doesn't have more than $600 in savings, somewhere around, yeah, that for an emergency. And so, you know, when we're talking about the high price of tickets, or not even the high price, but like, yeah, when you add in everything else, the parking and the food and the beverages, and you know, you're adding at least another couple hundred dollars on top of what you already spent. And then depending on where you live, parking could be ridiculous. When I used to live in LA, I mean, it was, you know, not uncommon to spend $50 to park. Yeah. So thinking about this idea that that a lot of people are going into debt for sports, you know, what are some of the keys to avoid, you know, going into debt?
Well, really, one of the big keys is just something that's really basic, and that's putting carving out space for it in your budget. We all know that budgets include kind of basic stuff. But the truth is that you should carve out room in your budget for things that you spend money on and that you're passionate on, because it allows you the flexibility to enjoy those things without necessarily having to go into debt. I mean, we don't think anything about carving out space in our budget for travel and things like that. But it might seem a little silly or goofy to do it for sports stuff. But the truth is, it's not. It's just something that we spend money on and that we're passionate about. So you should treat it as an expense to be managed the way other things are. So that's really the biggest thing that you should do.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of balance in life. You know, we got to have some fun. We can't just save and save and save. So, you know, as a sports fan myself, and I love concerts, I love music, you know, that's definitely like a line item that we add in, because those are things that we just really like to do and that kind of make life more enriching for us. So I'm also thinking like, okay, let's say that I just like, I have to go wherever. Maybe it's a World Cup. Like I've got to go. And I know that I'm going to get into some debt. Like I know this is going to be a reality. You know, Matt, do you have any like tips or ideas for us? Like, what happens if we do have to take on debt? Is there like any best practices for how we should think about kind of getting rid of that once we're back?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that if it's credit card debt in particular, you have some options. And one of them, if you have good credit, is a 0% balance transfer credit card, because those can allow you to go up to 21 months without accruing any interest on that balance. And that's a really, really big deal. And you need good credit to get one of those cards. There are fees that go along with it, so it's not a completely free thing. But there's really not a better tool in someone's arsenal against credit card debt than a 0% balance transfer card.
So you said good credit. Like, what qualifies as good credit?
If you are in the ballpark of 700 FICO score, you'll probably be okay. Banks are tightening up a little bit now in terms of who they'll lend to, but generally speaking, if you're at or around 700 or maybe even 680, 670, you'll have a decent chance. But if you get too much below that, then it may get a little dicey.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited. And it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. So we could go, you know, have some fun at our sporting event, and hopefully if our credit score is in that range, you know, we could get one of these offers. And then obviously the strategy, right, would be that if we had 21 months, let's say, to pay this off, we had, you know, 0% interest, we would want to make sure that we, you know, basically divided that, how much we owed by that 21 months, and make sure that we, you know, got that paid off. But let's say, you know, what happens if we don't end up paying that off after 21 months? Like, what are we looking at then?
Well, what you'll look at then is that you'll pay whatever the standard interest rate is on that card on the remaining balance. One of the real kind of long-lasting myths in the credit card space is that balance transfer credit cards actually have are deferred interest cards rather than zero interest cards, meaning that if you don't pay off the full balance that you've transferred during that 0% window, that you're going to get hit with a bill for all of the interest that you would have accrued during that time. And that's really not a good thing. That's something that you see at retailers where they're talking about special financing and that sort of thing. But that doesn't apply, generally speaking, with balance transfer credit cards. If you transfer that balance and you pay all of it but $50 off, in that 21-month period, the only amount of money you're going to pay interest on that balance is that remaining $50. Oh. And so that's an important thing to understand. I mean, that's kind of the cockroach of credit card myths. It's just, you can't kill it. And it's something that unfortunately may scare people away from using these cards because they may think that it's just not as good a deal as it actually is.
I didn't know that. That's really fascinating. Yeah. Let's kill that cockroach.
Exactly.
So another thing I wanted to talk to you about is something that's just on my mind a lot when I'm watching sports is, you know, fantasy football and like online betting, which is now legal. And I know if you watch sports these days, like you see ads for this everywhere all the time, you know,
sure.
We're talking now kind of right after, you know, the crypto market just kind of blew up and that right. was everywhere. So that's really fascinating. But You know, even like a lot of sporting events are sponsored by these online betting sites. So, you know, I'm wondering, like, are you seeing more debt increase as we embrace this idea of, like, you know, betting on sports?
We didn't specifically ask about whether gambling is specifically increasing people's debt, but it's hard to imagine that it's not. Because it's as a sports fan, people have always bet on games, but it's right. Generally just been kind of under the table and, you know, with your buddies and all that sort of stuff. But now that it's giant business, and you get point spreads on SportsCenter and all that kind of thing, it kind of changes the game. So I don't think there's any question that you have folks who are running up some debt as it relates to sports betting. Are you hearing my dog bark, by the way?
I am a little bit, yes.
Okay.
But that's okay. It's just, you know, nice ambient noise.
Okay.
You know, the interview's got to feel like real life, right?
Exactly.
sometimes you got the dog barking in the backyard. I'm just thinking, like, you know, how crazy it is that that we're just like constantly being encouraged to spend more money. Yeah. And, you know, it that's what always feels like so really fascinating to me about the financial world. I mean, I'm a, you know, non-practicing certified financial planner. And so it's really interesting for me to look at this, but it, you know, it's like this financial world where they, you know, want your money to kind of help, you know, manage your money and grow for retirement and all this. But it also really feeds off of, you know, things like this, like going into more debt is actually beneficial to some companies. And sure. I don't know, it's just really fascinating me to, you know, kind of dig down and see how all this operates and how it's so easy for us to just go in debt. And then, you know, that awesome, like, tip you were sharing about the balance transfer credit cards, like, most of us don't know that. So, you know, we just get more and more in debt. And then, you know, the panic and the fear starts to set in and we just don't even know what to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. It kind of gets a little bit at the idea of whether there is good debt. Nobody wants to take on but so much debt. But I tend to believe that there can be good debt. If you get a return on it and you feel like it is valuable and you don't dive too crazy into it, obviously. And I think one of the things that could be argued that in moderation would be good debt would be something like a World Series trip or a college football game with your parents or, you know, things like that where you bust the budget a little bit, but it ends up turning into memories that you'll have for your entire life. Like, in 2005, the season that Texas won the national championship in college football, my family went to Columbus, Ohio for the game between Texas and Ohio State. And we have family up there and all that, and we were able to get tickets. And it was us and, you know, 100,000 Buckeye fans, and Texas ended up winning the game. And that was kind of a big step towards them winning the national championship that year. And we talk about that game and that trip all the time, 17, 18 years later. And those sorts of things, even though they can be a little pricey and you may have to spend a little bit over a few months to pay for that, those kind of memories can last you a lifetime. So there's value in that if you do it in moderation.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
And I know another thing that you had the privilege of doing is you weren't at the World Series, actually in the building, right, when the Cubs won, but you were actually in the city, in the vicinity, which I think is another great way to think about, if you can't get in the building for your favorite sporting event, if you can even, kind of get in the vicinity, you're still there to experience everything going on. And maybe that is, a little bit less expensive than actually being in the building, but you still get, all of that fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a Cubs fan since I was like 10 years old and
been when, tortured, right?
I'm telling you, like few fan bases have ever been. But when my girlfriend, now wife, and I got serious, I told her, I was like, just so you know, when the Cubs go to the World Series, I'm going. And and she was, they had been terrible for years. And she was like, okay, whatever, like that's going to happen. But she didn't laugh it off. She didn't go, no, that's crazy. You know how much that's going to cost. And so lo and behold, in 2016, they get to the World Series and tickets were just outrageous, like few sporting event prices have ever been, to get into Wrigley Field. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to afford to go into the game, but we went up for game three, the first game at, I think the first game at Wrigley, I may have it wrong, in 2016. And I used frequent flyer miles and hotel points to go up there and basically have it be kind of a freebie trip travel wise for my son and I. And we hung around Wrigleyville and kind of took it all in and just saw all the craziness of that whole moment, which was such a big thing nationally, but like was something that I'll never forget, that I was able to do in part because of credit card rewards and travel rewards, but part because I just was like, okay, I need to kind of put some money aside to be able to do this, to make it possible.
Yeah, I love that you talk about credit card rewards too, because I talk about that so often on the show, because it's so easy to forget that you actually have points just kind of sitting around, and those are worth, you know, you could exchange those for real things like hotels and airfare, and all of that goes to save more money. So, you know, if you want to go to your favorite sporting event, you know, you can also be creative and, you know, maybe you save on that airfare or that hotel, and that goes a long way and helps you, you know, not get in so much debt.
Yeah. And the truth is that credit card rewards and points and miles and that sort of thing are depreciating assets. So they just tend to lose value over time. So you are better off spending them sooner rather than later. I mean, if you're saving towards a particular goal, then you don't want to just throw them away on whatever. But if you just have a ton of miles and a ton of points and you're not sure what to do with them, and they've just been sitting there for a long time, chances are they've gotten less valuable since you got them. So you may want to look into, you know, even if it's a staycation to burn those hotel points, or if it's something that you're thinking, well, I've been putting off travel because of the pandemic or whatever, use those points because they're only going to get less valuable over time.
All right. So we've talked about our love of sports and how much, kind of how much we all spend. But I know there's also, you know, another piece of this, another sort of juggernaut of sports spending. And this is sports for kids. This is something that you know a lot about. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine. So, you know, parents also spend a lot this fall on kids' sports, you know, whether they have the money or not. And a couple of other stats that really came out to me from the survey was 38% of parents with kids younger than 18 say their child will play on a sports team. And 59% of parents whose children play on fall sports say the cost is a big financial strain for their family. So, yeah. You know, thinking about, like, you know, maybe what sports kind of cost the most, and like how much on average should you expect to spend as a parent?
Yeah, I mean, we found that of those folks with kids on sports teams, about 1 in 5 say that their expenses are going to top $1,000.
Wow.
And to be perfectly honest, as your kid gets older and progresses into sports, it is very, very easy to spend $1,000 on your kid's sports. Because these select and travel leagues, where you get into a higher level of competition and you start getting more serious and you start thinking about things like college scholarships and stuff like that, really prey on people's dreams and hopes for their kids, and make an just obscene amount of money on these leagues, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, on down the line, in really basically any sport that your kid is good at or may be passionate about, you can find, chances are, some sort of league that is going on that will profess to take your kid to that next level, to turn him into LeBron or Tom Brady or something like that. So you really do need to be careful, and you really do need to understand what these costs are, and again, carve out room in your budget for these expenses if that's something that's going to be part of your life.
Yeah. So I'm also thinking, you know, what if, All right. So let's say, let's just take $1,000 because that's the example. You know, what if you're listening and you're like, okay, I don't have $1,000, or maybe I have multiple kids, so I don't have, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 just kind of lying around. You know, this show is about, you know, everyone's talking money. It's about having these conversations around money. So I would imagine this might open the door to have a conversation with your kid around money. You know, are there any ways to, you know, to talk to them and kind of explain, you know, about money and how much this costs and, you know, kind of weighing out the pros and cons? Is there any way to like open up that conversation with your kid?
Yeah, I mean, it's as parents, you're always looking for teachable moments, and this can certainly be one. I mean, you don't want to give them an economics lesson, or you don't want to talk to them like they're your accounting client or something. But it is okay to talk to your kid and go, you know, mom and dad are, you know, these leagues are really expensive, and you know, mom and dad are on a tight budget, and this league costs $1,000 to play in, and it's really tough for us to be able to afford it, and we want to understand how much something like this matters to you, and we also wanted to talk to you or let you know that if you do play there, we may need to make some sacrifices around some things, and then just kind of have the conversation from there. And sometimes a kid will go, oh wow, I had no idea it cost that much. I'd rather do something else. Or maybe the kid will be like, you know, what can I do to help? If you have a teenager or something like that, it'd be like, you know, can I, you know, mow some lawns, or, you know, any of those sort of typical kid kind of stuff. But it's a way of helping your kid learn the value of money, you know, as it relates to something that they're passionate about. And my son plays soccer, and several years ago, we had to basically decide if he was going to jump into this soccer select league. And when I went to the meeting, I remember being shocked at how much it cost. And I went back to my son and I was like, you know, these are really expensive. And if you want to do it, we probably can make it work. But here's some other reasons why you may not want to. And also, just letting him know that when you have a commitment in a league like that, it may mean that you don't have time to do other things. And my son ended up deciding that he wanted to just, instead of playing for that select league, he wanted to just play in a more recreational league in soccer. So it would allow him to also play basketball and baseball later on. And so that's a long, long answer to your question, but yeah, it is important to have those conversations with your kids and to let them know at least a little bit about the implications of these costs.
Do you ever suggest, if you know your kid wants to play in one of these leagues and let's say it's pretty expensive, you know, should they go and like talk to the coach or talk to the league, like see if there are any, you know, like options available? I mean, have you ever heard of any tips or tricks like that to maybe save a little bit of money, or where there might be, I don't know, like a grant, or I don't know, but you know, something to kind of help you out?
It depends on the league, but there are definitely opportunities in some places, in some levels, for you to go to the league and say, you know, my daughter just loves soccer, and she just really wants to play, but honestly, we can't afford it. Is there anything that we can do? And you'll have some of these leagues that'll have grants and sponsorships and scholarships and that sort of thing that'll be able to help you out. There'll be some that may say, yeah, you can do it, but would you be able to give a little sweat equity where you coach or you referee or you work at the concession stands? that sort of thing. Those sorts of things are easier asks in, you know, kind of recreational leagues in most towns around this country. If you're getting up to the higher level, you know, stuff where you're talking about college scholarships and professional dreams and all that, those are a little bigger business and you may not be as likely to get your way, but it's certainly worth the ask.
I like that. I like that, you know, I mean, what's the worst case, right? You ask the question and, you know, the answer might be no, but at least you've asked the question. So I love that advice. And I'm thinking about, as, you know, we're ending the year here, getting ready to kind of go in 2023. I'm a big fan of creating a spending plan rather than a traditional budget. We were kind of talking about this idea of building in ahead of time the stuff that you like to do, so you feel like you can do that stuff without all the stress and fear that money brings. So as we wrap up, Matt, I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on like how we can smartly plan to, you know, really enjoy our sports in 2023, but, you know, not end up being one of these statistics that are going to debt and really kind of feeling the pain of our joy of sports.
Yeah, it really is about kind of being planful and thoughtful and making that budget or that spending plan and kind of looking ahead to what those things cost. And one thing that I think is really important, whether it's sports spending or whatever, is when you are making that plan, any assumptions that you have about what things are going to cost, you may want to just bump those up 5, 10%, something like that, because it's pretty easy to assume that things are going to continue to get more expensive for a while. And if you end up kind of guessing wrong and things don't get more expensive, then great. But if they do, as we all expect they might, it'll just mean that you'll be a little more prepared for that scenario and it'll make things a little easier on you.
I think the biggest takeaway in this whole conversation with Matt is something that I share with you a lot, and that's the idea of balance. Budgets are boring and they're stressful. We can all agree on that, but that's because you've been taught that they tell you what you can't do. But I love Matt's advice of turning your budget into something that tells you what you can do. So you can still love your sports and spend money on your favorite teams, but you can do so smartly and you can avoid going into debt and all of that stress that comes with that. You can read more about this survey and get all of Matt's awesome money advice at LendingTree.com, where you can learn everything from how to acquire credit, how to use it wisely, and everything in between. You can find Matt at Twitter, at Matt Schultz, that's S-H-U-L-Z, and on TikTok at Matt.Schultz. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, someone who you know loves sports as well. Help them figure out how to, you know, balance it all, right, without going into debt. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests, as well as the amazing sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here, my friends, in a few days for a brand new episode.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special mom in your life. And what better way than with the Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets that are perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their advanced eye care duo brightens, awakens, and firms the skin around your eyes, while the golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths the skin all over. Both sets are packaged in giftable boxes. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. And the best part? For a limited time, you can save up to $46 on Osea's sets. Plus, get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. This Mother's Day, get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off site-wide.